Morning, everyone. Good Erev Pesach. We started the fourth parak of Menachos yesterday. We continue along. Today's daf is daf Lamtes in Menachos, and we're there. That's pretty much where we are. Where we're at. We're in the bottom of Lamtes and Beis. Yesterday we started the new parak, new Mishnah, and discussion about tzitzis. Okay, we'll be here for a little bit. As the Gemara now will discuss all the details regarding the mitzvah of tzitzis, and we're going to continue pretty much from where we left off yesterday. Just going to remind everybody that yesterday we started the new Mishnah, and the Mishnah says that tcheles and lavan, you need blue and white, right? Part of the very definition of tzitzis is blue and whites. This is an old pair that I brought with me, just for purposes of illustration. And obviously, one of the things that we lost being in the diaspora for so long is we lost our tcheles. We don't have the ability to make tcheles anymore. Our tcheles is lost. It has been recently rediscovered, and there has been movements, not just recently, but past couple hundred years, there have been movements in terms of trying to bring back the tcheles. The Raziner Hasidim attempted to do so, and in Israel now it's become slightly more popular as well to reintroduce the tcheles. Okay, and it's a valiant effort to try to reintroduce tcheles, but we're not 100% sure whether it is or it is not tcheles. The Mishnah, however, says that that's okay, meaning even if we don't have tcheles, that's fine. Tcheles is not makiv love, and love is not makiv tcheles. We learned yesterday machlokus between the Chachamim and Rabbi. The Chachamim say, look, it could be one or the other. It could be tcheles, it could be love, and it doesn't have to be both. And if you make your strings just out of white, that's fine. White would just be fine. The Rebbe says that you need blue and white together, right? According to Shita's Rebbe, if you don't have blue and white tzitzis, you cannot wear tzitzis. You don't. You're. It's not that you're lacking part of the mitzvah. It's part of the essential nature of the Mishnah, of the mitzvah. So therefore, according to Rebbe, you need blue and white. We don't pass them like Rebbe, but that is what we discussed yesterday. And a good part of yesterday's discussion, almost entirely, the entirety of yesterday's discussion was, can we possibly fit Rebbe back into our Mishnah? Rebbe, who says that you need blue and white, is there a way that he can learn the Mishnah? And essentially, we suggested yesterday two possibilities. Either one, that yes, we can. Both are yes. Either one, we could suggest that Rebbe is in fact agreeing with our Mishnah, because our Mishnah is not talking about not having blue and white. Our Mishnah is talking about having both blue and white. But our Mishnah is talking about the kedima, the order, meaning that when you put strings on your talis, so first you should put the white, then you should put the blue. That should be the kedima. That should be the order. And if you do blue and then white, that's okay. That's one pshat that we gave in the Mishnah according to Rebbe. Or a second possible pshat is gardumim. Gardumim means that the strings were torn, they were ripped, and basically you only have a little bit of the string left. Right, so you only have a little bit of the string left. So the Mishnah says, as long as you have enough string left over, where I could basically tie it in a knot. Now the Gemara asked the question: does that mean tie the knot just on this one string, or tie it around the other string? So the Gemara says that I'm not sure about. But the Gemara says that as long as I have gardumim, two, even if both of the tchela strings are just gardumim, that would be okay, that's acceptable. And that's what the Mishnah is referring to when it says that lavan is not ma'akev tchelas and tchelas is not ma'akev lavan. Okay, that's what we said yesterday, and in a nutshell, that was yesterday's daf. We are continuing in the Gemara. We are towards the bottom of Lamed Ches Amud Beis, of 38b, and we are moving towards the bottom. Uman Tana. It's about six, 7 lines from the bottom of the page, and the Gemara here continues. Uman Tana, who is the Tana? De Palig Aleha de Rebbe. So who argues with Rebbe? Meaning, we know very clearly Rebbe's position. Who argues with Rebbe? So yesterday we just simply said, the Chachamim. So the Gemara says, Vahai. So what we're going to do now is we're going to quote a Braisa that's going to identify someone who actually argues with Rebbe. So I tell you who the Tanya will learn a Braisa. Rebbe Yitzhak Omer, Mishum Rebbe Nasan, Shamar, Mishum Rebbe Yossi HaGlili, Shamar Mishum Rebbe Yochan Ben Nuri, Ein Lo Tcheles Matalavan. Okay, so if you don't have Tcheles, you don't have blue. So you can just put on white. Period. Okay, I should have read that yesterday. Anyway. Okay, so good. So now we know that our Minog, which of course is that we don't have Tcheles nowadays. Again, and I'm not right. If you wanna put on tchelas nowadays on your tzitzis, by all means, you certainly can, and certainly encouraged to do so. I brought a pair of tchelas as well today for everyone to see. I really show and tell today. But we don't know 100%, and let's assume for the discussion that's Gemara that we don't know if it is or if it isn't Tchelis. Good. So, but according to Rav Yossi Aglili, according to Rav Yochem Ben Nuri, right, we can quote a whole series of Tanayim, that's okay. Even if you only have white and you don't have the blue, so that would be okay as well. Okay, and that's obviously here. That's obviously who we hold like. Gemara continues. Gemara says that. That's good. Amar Rava. Shema min atzarech l'tshar kol chulya v'chulya. Okay. Let's make sure that we're comfortable with terminology that we're going to be using a lot of today. Okay. Old pair of tzitzis I brought with me. All right. After you get to the corner, right, minhag amongst most Jews is to put one hole into the corner. A minhag of Lubavitch is to put two holes in the corner. Okay. How did that come about? I'm not 100% sure. But anyway, let's just deal with the straightforward tzitzis. Okay, you have a corner. Okay, then you let the strings hang out a little bit, and then you start making braids. Now, these aren't like real braids. These aren't like challah braids, like, you know. But still, in other words, they're braided, meaning that they're tied one over another. They're wrapped one over another. So this portion of the tzitzis is called the gedilim. The gedil. Right, the gedil actually means something which is twined together, and this is essentially twined together. Okay, we're a little bit fancy. We have a double knot, then we have 7, and then we have a double knot, and then we have 8, and then we have a double knot, and then 11, and a double knot, and then in this pair of tzitzis, that's it, because these are old and these require a lot of work. I don't even think these can be recovered. But all right, but this section over here, again, we're just dealing with the basics. This section over here is called gedilim. Okay, this is the gedil section of the tzitzis. Okay, then you have the strings that come out at the end. So this section over here is called the psil, right? The actual strings that come out. So your tzitzis are basically made up of one section of gedil and another section of psil. Okay. When we wrap, so we make a what the Gemara is going to refer to as a chulia. A chulia is a section of wrapping. We're going to learn later on this morning. A chulia is made up of a minimum of 3 wraps. Now, here's a section of 7. Here's a section of 8. Here's a section of 11. Okay, but it has to be, a chulia has to be a minimum of 3. Okay, so far so good. That's your basics regarding tzitzis. So, the Gemara says over here, again, Amar Rava, Shma Mina, Tzarech Likshor Al Kol Chulia V'Chulia. Okay, in the Gemara, we're never going to see how many wrappings you need to make. I take that a little bit back. Okay, we're going to see numbers like 7 and 13 being... right. We're going to see in the Gemara numbers like 7 and 13. But the numbers in our tzitzis of 7, 8, 11, 13, you're not going to see... Those numbers you're not going to see. I'm going to explain to you later this morning how we ever got to those numbers. Okay, Rashi and Tosos both are going to get us to that point in time. And another thing you're not going to see in the Gemara... We make 5 double knots, right? 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, why do I keep holding this one up? let me go somewhere else on this. This one. this one's absolutely shot.
Yes, that sounds good.
Yeah, the last one's good. Okay, last one's better. Okay, good. We have 5 double knots. All right, so that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We have 5 double knots, and again, when you get to the Gemara, you're not going to see that in the Gemara as well. The Gemara never talks about 5 double knots. In fact, the Gemara is going to say that Minat Torah, you only need 1 knot. Right? We say double knot, because that's what we do in order to make it permanent. But the Gemara is actually going to talk about 1 knot. So, from the Gemara's perspective, you only need 1 knot. I'll show you later this morning. Either we're talking about this one, or we're talking about this one. Okay, it's going to be a machlokes between Rashi and Tosfos. So that's 1 knot. We make little knots in between, the 5 knots. So Rava is now going to make the argument that, yeah, of course. Of course you got to make the knots in between. Every time you make a chulia, every time you do a wrapping, and then you're going to break from the wrapping and make a knot, so you got to make a double knot between each wrapping. So Amar Rava, Shema Minat Tzarech Likshor Kol Chulia V'Chulia. Why? The Isa Gadach Alot Tzarech. Now, what are you going to tell me? You're going to tell me, you don't need a double knot. It's fine. Meaning, just wrap it up and that's fine. Without the double knots in between. Because remember, we're just coming off of yesterday's daf, and Rebbenei Rebbe Chia, the sons of Rebbe Chia, said that gardumei tcheles are kasha. That if you have the gardumim, remember yesterday we talked about, that's basically where the tzitzis are worn out. They're worn down. So, and we said that the gardumei tcheles are ksherim, v'ksherim, v'gardumei eiz of ksherim. So the Gemara says, kaven ishtar yalei ilai ishtar lei kula. So Gemara says, look, you're basically telling me that this knot becomes undone. If this knot becomes undone, what's going to keep all these windings together? Had it not been for all the intermediate knots, the answer would be nothing. Nothing would keep together. The whole thing would become undone. You no longer have any gedil. All you have left is just psil. You just have left is strings. So Rav is making an argument. It must be that between every chulya must be knots. That's the argument of Rava. So the Gemara says, Ezek Shem Tishar Le'ilai, Shar Le'kula. So the Gemara says, Dilma Di'iktar. The Gemara says, look, it's not a compelling argument. Really not a compelling argument. It could very well be that B'nai Rebbe Chia, who have taught us yesterday that Gardumim are okay, which means basically that you lost this knot over here, it could very well be that B'nai Rebbe Chia, who says that this pair of tzitzis is kosher, happened to be talking about a scenario in which I have double knots. But that doesn't...
cut off, like, but
no, no, it means that I had intermediate knots, but that doesn't mean that it has to have it. Meaning, it could just be, this is the way Rashi understands the Gemara, it could just be that Rebbe Chia is talking about these types of tzitzis. But that doesn't mean that these knots, all these intermediary knots, they're all required. Maybe they're not. And what if I don't have them? Okay, so I don't have them. But what if I lost this knot over here and all of them become undone? Okay, that's going to be an issue. But you can't walk away from Rebbe Chia saying, oh, you must have the intermediary knots. They're not saying that. All they're saying is gardumim is okay. And if it happens to be that you have gardumim and you have your intermediary knots, so you'll be in good shape. But if you have gardumim, which means that you lost this knot over here, and the rest of it becomes untwined, unraveled, okay, so that's going to be an issue. But you just simply can't walk away from Rebbe Chia saying, I have to have those intermediary knots. That wasn't their point. Their point was gardumim is okay, that the leftover strings are fine. But they weren't making a specific point about the intermediary knots. Okay, so the Gemara says that you can't conclude that from Rebbe Chia. Next. Okay. Here's where the Gemara says it. Kesher Elyon, if I have the top knot, so that's a Dinda Araisa. Now, it's always confusing, and here we're going to be confused. The Rishonim are going to be confused. When we say top, what do we mean? Right? So your top, in other words, if this is your tzitzis that's coming off your baged, so your top could be this over here, or you could be looking from this point and you can go in distal, and this could be the top. So it's not totally clear. In fact, Rashi and Tosos both seem to take different positions on it. Kesher Elyon, look at Rashi. Rashi's four lines down. Hai Nunami, Hai Kesher, Lamata Halacha Lamoshe Mesinai Klomer, Kesher Echa Betzitzis Miyad Araisa, Olehachi Nakat Elyon, Mishim Deilo Avid, Elachai Kesher Besofo, Avilei, Shemegayim Es Hagidil Kula. So Rashi says, which knot is the Araisa? Rashi says, this one. The one right before the strings. Why? Rashi says, I'll tell you why. It's very simple. Because without this knot over here, I just made a whole bunch of wrappings over here. Without this knot, so all these wrappings are going to get undone. So this knot is necessary to separate the strings from the gedil. Okay. So therefore, according to Rashi, this knot is the araisa. This singular knot over here is the most important knot of the tzitzis. Without this, you don't have tzitzis. Okay, good. That's Rashi. Tosfos, top Tosfos on the page, Kesher Elyon, Vekunchus Perish, Ne Perushim Echad, Achar Hagedil, Venikra Elyon, Kamo Lamala, Mina Atara. So Rashi offers two pshatim. Now, Rashi, as I just read to you, only offered us one pshat. So Tosfos is quoting a Rashi, I don't know. Not our Rashi. Some other Rashi.
Another
Rashi. Right. Or another, another manuscript of Rashi, right? More probably. And anyway, v'ze eino muchach ela demia b'inan kesher v'lishna achrina perish samuch leknaf. Another pshat, says Rashi, as quoted by Tosfos, is the one right next to the corner. Right, here's the corner, here's the knaf. So the knot right over here, that knot is min haTorah. And again, the argument that this knot is the most important knot is because this is the one that connects the strings to the baggin. Without this knot, this string over here will not be connected to the baggin. So you have two distinct possibilities. The Gemara says that the kesher elyon, the top kesher, is min haTorah. That is the biblical knot. So it's either this one or this one. So, practically speaking, we make both. In other words, we make this one and we make this one. And you should make sure, in other words, there's a mitzvah, there's a halacha, that every morning you take out your tzitzis, you take your talis, you should check. So one of the things that you should do is you should make sure that these two knots, right, the first one and the last one, are both tied and tightened. So, and these ones, by the way, and it's funny, most people, I would say, ignore this one because they figure, you know...
Right,
it's
the bottom one.
How could it do
top? It opens up, meaning it loosens on the top. Huh. Right here. Oh.
Demonstrate.
I'll demonstrate. It can loosen at the top. It's never gonna get undone. Right?
Yeah.
It's certainly true, but it can get loose on the top. So all you do, it's not that complicated.
So why is it important to
Because according to Rashi, the way Tosfos quotes Rashi, just tighten it like that. Oh, perfect. So according to Rashi, this is the kesher daraisa. This is a mitzvah daraisa. This is what connects it to the baggin. According to Rashi, it's quoted by Rashi. It's this knot over here. So, sorry about that. Limited,
technical difficulty.
Yeah, limited real estate over here. So it's fine. So anyway, so that's what we walk away with from both Rashi and Tosfos. This knot's important. This knot's important. The Gemara's talking about one. We're not sure which one the Gemara is talking about.
If you do the knot so close to the thing, it's not, you know, the very first one, if you do it very close to the klav, there's no way of loosening that.
The problem is you want a knaf, you want a corner.
No,
right?
I don't want to
strangle the corner, meaning if I put this too close over here, so basically I'm going to strangle the corner. And I don't, in other words, we learned yesterday that's really not the end of the world. Because we learned yesterday that even if I bundle this up, it's still a corner. But still, we would like it to hang like a corner. So that's why we may give it a little bit of room so that the corner is able to sustain. Isaka dacha de Rabbanan. Sorry, let me just finish reading the Gemara. I'll start again from the top line. Amar Rabba Shmamina Keshal Yon Daraisa. Isaka dacha de Rabbanan. So my itzrich lemishrei sadem etzitzis pshita. So tokef tkifa achas enu chibur elish mamina da'araisa. And here's the Gemara's argument, and you're going to see a lot of this argument today. We'll see it again tomorrow. Look, I'm allowed to make shatnez. When I make tzitzis, I'm allowed to make shatnez. Now I'm going to put a disclaimer, a huge disclaimer on that. We are not allowed to make shatnez because we don't have the mitzvah kishle musa. In other words, the mitzvah is white and blue, so we only have white. So as a huge disclaimer to everything I'm about to say, we can't make shatnez. We can only make wool. We can only make wool and cotton. But we can't make wool and linen. Okay? But that's just a disclaimer. But now that the disclaimer's aside, so we're allowed to make shatnez. So the Gemara says, how do you make shatnez? Shatnez is not just simply taking a piece of wool and putting linen on top of it. Shatnez means permanently connecting the two together. If my baggit is made out of linen, this happens to be made out of cotton, but if my baggit is made out of linen, and I just simply loop the wool strings through it, that's not shatnez. That's just wool and linen being close to each other. But that's not shatnez. Shatnez means I need a permanent attachment. How do I get a permanent attachment? These knots. These knots create a permanent attachment. So that's how we know that the kesher elyon is daraisa. By the way, that sounds a lot more like the Tosfos version, that this knot over here is the critical knot, because this is the one that really connects the two together. Good. Let's move on. Amar Rav Baravada, Amar Rav Ada, Amar Rav. Im nifsa kachut mi ikaro, psula. Okay. I have it here. I know I do. I know. It's good. Here it is. Okay. Chut mi ikaro. So here you go. Here is now Sitzis at a puzzle. Right? I don't know if you could see it, but if right here. There should be four strings here looped around. So one of the strings is snapped. Me'i karo, from the base. And the Gemara says it's puzzle. Okay? That was easy. So So now Rav Nachman is sitting down and he's reviewing this halacha that he just learned. When is that true? That's only when you make tzitzis from the very beginning. Aval sofo, but after you made the tzitzis and after they get worn down, and the Torah basically says to us, the halacha is basically saying to us, look, I know things are going to get worn out after usage, right? We understand that, right? You can't be brand new all the time. You can't have a brand new car all the time. Well, the rabbi just spoke about that last night. So the, but in other words, things get used and things get worn down. But at the end, meaning after some time, the Gemara doesn't give us a shear of time, but you understand, after some time, even if the strings are worn down and all you have is just a little bit left, so the Gemara says that's fine. That's fine. Kol shehu. Now, it says two things at the end of this brisa. If you have shirav vigardumav, right? Little leftover string. So my shirav, my gardumav, my love. So the Gemara now is suggesting a pshat in the brisa. Shirav di ifsek minayu, vishtari minayu, gardumav di igardum igardume. Well, look, where there are two terms that are used at the end of the brisa. So maybe when it says shirav, meaning the string snap, but you have a little bit left over. When it says gardumav, it means that the string snap, but basically you have nothing left over. Kind of like what we're looking over here. Right? One of the strings of my four strings over here totally snapped. Mm-hmm. I got nothing. It's not even connected to the begad. What the Gemara is now entertaining, it's just an entertainment, the Gemara is not going to accept it, is that maybe that's okay. Because the Braisa says, Shirav vigardumav. Leftovers and gardumim. So maybe what the Gemara is suggesting is that even this, where it's not even connected to the begin, even that would be okay. The Gemara says, no. That's not the Pshan the Braisa. So, my love, so you're assuming that Bryce was talking about two separate things. That's not true. The Bryce is only talking about one thing. Shirei gardumav kol shehu. So the Gemara says, no. Shirei gardumav. Leftovers of the gardumim. But you need string, and not only do you need string coming off the corner. And yes, it doesn't. The string doesn't have to be that long. Meaning when you start off, the string has to be a certain length. We'll talk later about what that length has to be. But after a while, if the strings kind of wear down and you only have a little bit left, that's fine. But if you have like what I have over here, where it mamish disconnects from the very top, that's possible. That's going to be disqualified. So the Gemara says, just in terms of the language, the Braisa could have used somewhat of a clearer language. The Gemara says, Velema gardumav. So why doesn't the Braisa just simply say gardumav? Wouldn't that be enough? So the Gemara says, shirav lamali, hakamash malan, debi'inan shirav legardumav, kedela anvan. No, I need both terms because gardumim by itself doesn't tell me how much. So the Gemara says that the word shirav means I need enough to not. So in other words, I have to, see, by the way, it's funny, this string may be salvageable, according to the Gemara. Because what I'll do is I'll loop it right back through. And
you can have another knot.
Right, and okay. And is there enough where I could loop it over? Oh, it's gonna be tough.
But it doesn't have to be attached on the other end.
What do you mean? Over here?
Yeah.
Right. So that's not the Gemara's not clear about that. Meaning gardumim, the Gemara's not clear about how much gardumim we need. Meaning it could be gardumim just would be okay right over here from the very top. As long as I tied it over. Could be. Okay, I'm not 100% sure, but okay. Yosef Rabbi Bekamir Mishvei Rav Chushal Krach Olam in a Minyan. Okay, yeah, we have a total of four strings that are doubled over and into eight. That string that I used to wind, so that's counted as one of the four strings. Okay, I know it sounds like, you know, everyone's reaction should be, yeah, I think we knew that. Okay, but the Gemara tells us the chushal krach cholam in a minyan. Amalei Rav Yosef Shmuel Amra. I'm sorry. Amalei Rav Yosef Shmuel Amra v'lo Rav. You're right about the halacha. You're wrong about who said that. It wasn't Rav who said that. That was Shmuel who said that. Okay, to the Amoraim, it was extraordinarily important to make sure that we get correct attribution. We know who the correct person who says it. It wasn't Rav. It was Shmuel. It marnami amar Rav bar Bechana sach li Rabbi Yoshia de min Usha chutzal krach olam in a minyan. Okay, more confirmation on this halacha that the string that I used to wrap around the others, that's counted as one of the four strings or doubled over eight strings. Yosef Rav v'kamer mishmet Shmuel tchel shekrach ruba ksheira. So, if I have tchelas where I wound most of it, it would be kasher. So, Amalei Rav Yosef, Rav Amar Velo Shmuel. So, again, the Gemara here works on attribution. It was not Shmuel who said it, it was Rav who said it. Edmar Nami Amar Rav Huna Bar Yehuda Amar Rav Sheshes Amar Yirmiyah Bar Abba Amar Rav Tchela Shekrach Rubak Shera. That if most of it was wound up, so then it would be kasher. Rav Chia Bered, Rav Nasa, Masni Hachi, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav Sheshes, Amar Rav, Yirmiya Bar Ab, Amar Rav, Tchel Shekrach Ruba, Kshera, Ve'afilu Lo Karach Ba Elachuya Achas Kshera. So, how much winding can it be? So we just learned, the majority could be wound up. We are now learning that even if you only have Chulya Achas, just one Chulya, and we're going to learn in just a moment, the Chulya is made up of three windings. Even if it's one set of three, that would also be acceptable. That would be fine. And then the Gemara says, "Vinoy tchela shlish gedil v'shnei shlishi anaf." Okay. And the Gemara says, and you want to know what the nicest is? The nicest is going to be where one third of it is wound, and two thirds of it is anaf, right? Hanging strings. Okay. So this is not great. Right. The weight is it's very simple. Just in other words, what you're going to do is you're just going to basically fold it over, and it should be able to fold over one more time, so that it's not so bad. Not so bad. It's going to be one third winding and two thirds loose strings. Here, nice pair of scissors with tchelas. It's not mine. Okay. So the Gemara says one third winding. So that's. Much better. Right. So one third wounding and two thirds of it should be loose. Okay, the Gemara says, V'kama shir chulya, Tanya, Rabbi Omer, Kadei shiachroch, v'yishana v'yishalesh. Okay, each chulya, each winding should be made up of three strings. Now you'll say to me, right, quite honestly, well, before we get to that point, okay, Tana, ha poches lo yivchos misheva, V'hamosef lo Yosef al shlosh esrei. Okay, if the minimum, in other words, windings, how many windings do you want to do? So from a minimum perspective, you should do 7. From a maximum, you should do 13. And the Gemara says, what are the significance of the number 7 and 13? So apoches lo yifchos misheve kenege sheve rikiyim. So, you know, there are 7 rikiyas. Okay? Meaning, if we take the elevator to go upstairs. Okay. Figuratively speaking, of course. And there are seven floors to go to, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu dwells on the seventh, right? And the sun, the moon, the stars. I think they're in the first and they're in the second. Right? Really, I have no one here who knows their rakia configuration. I'm not one of them. All right, so. No, so I'm pretty sure Hashem is dwelling in the seventh. Again, all this to the best of our understanding. Can I get Shiva Rikim? So in other words, so that's the 7. And now how do we get to the number 13? V'hamosef lo Yosef ashlosh esrei. And then when you add, you don't want to make more than 13, because if there are 7 rakiyas, so of course there's going to be space in between all 7. 6 spaces between each 7. So 6 plus 7 is 13. Okay, I hope people are understanding better than me, because I don't fully understand all this. Can I get Shiva Rakim Shiva? I'm sorry, Bishisha Avrim Shabinaham. Okay, now. Okay, let's pause and let's make the following comment. You'll say to me, we don't do any of this. We don't do 7, we don't do 13, right? What is How do you understand all this? What do we do? We do 7, 8, 11, 13. We do 5 knots in the middle. We didn't see that in the Gemara. So where are we getting our minhagim from? Because our minhagim are not coming from the Gemara. From the Gemara, it sounds like it's one knot, it's windings, it's loose strings, right? And how many windings do we make? Either 7 or 13 or something in between. And we don't do any of that. So where do we get it from? So, let's start off with a more basic question. How come we deviate from the Gemara? Meaning the Gemara is giving more or less clear instruction in terms of how to make our tzitzis, and we do something which is a little bit different than what the Gemara says. So Tosfos over here writes the following. Yeah. So look at the bottom Tosfos on the page. Lo yivchos misheva keneged shiva rikim. Lefisha tchelas dama layam, v'yam dama l'rakia. Okay, first of all, Tosfos makes a connection which we all know, when the Gemara later on will tell us, that the blue tchelas reminds us of the ocean. And the ocean reminds us of the rakia. And so, when we choose a number in terms of how many times to wind up the tzitzis around each other, so we're going to use a number corresponding to the rakia, because the tchelas anyway gets us there in terms of the symbolism of the tchelas. Okay. Next part of Tosfos, however, translates to us. Ve'anan, the leislan tchelas, lo kaptinan baha. Look, we don't have tchelas. So now that we don't have tchelas, so now you see already, so we're losing an aspect of the mitzvah. Right? Now remember, we go back to the beginning of the perek. Even if we don't have tchelas, we're still going to do the mitzvah, because tchelas is not ma'akev. But even though tchelas is not ma'akev, we're still missing a facet of the mitzvah. V'hanami darmin etzarach litshar kol chulya v'chulya, hainu kedei she'inikar tchelas. Right? And we said that you need to tie after every chulya, meaning after every winding, you need to make a tie. So we don't do that, meaning we just wrap around 7 times and then we do another double knot. And we don't tie after every chulia, after every set of 3. So again, Tosfos says, because that's the function of having tchelas, and we don't have tchelas. So we're not going to do that. U'mashanu no'agim chamisha ksharim. So what do we do? So we make 5 double knots. Okay, what is that? Because we know that one of the functions of tzitzis is to remind us of all the mitzvahs in the Torah. That's the simple pshat in the pasuk. So you look at it and you remember all the mitzvahs. So the whole purpose of tzitzis is to remind us of the whole Torah. So the word tzitzis comes up to the gematria of 600. Okay, now you understand that this is going to be, even this is going to be somewhat of an issue.
But what is his source for all this?
Huh?
What is source?
Medrashim. Yeah, I mean, he quotes Rashi.
But there's like no Gemara to support him.
Correct. That's correct. Lefisha tzitzis ola. Even this, tafresh. Even this part is a little bit tricky, because for tzitzis to come up in Gematria to 600, so it has to be spelled sadi yud taf. Right, you open up a chumash and you look in chumash and you look how it's spelled. It's not spelled with a double yud; it's only spelled with one yud. Okay, so that's an issue in the gematria. But again, we're right now. This is gematria right now. We're not. This is not the halacha. This is just to help us remember how it sits its function. Veches chotim. Now we have 600. I think everyone knows this. So the tzitzis is gematria 600. Then we have 8 strings. Then we have chamisha ksharim. Then we have the 5 knots. Ola Taryag. That takes us to the number Taryag, 613. Okay, and that's the and that's how tzitzis is going to remind us of all the mitzvahs in the Torah. 613 mitzvahs in the Torah. Umiyo called tzitzis harmon beparsha chaser myud. Even Tosfos acknowledges this isn't as smooth as we would like, because the word tzitzis is chaser. It's missing a yud. So the gematria tzitzis is not 600. It's 590. Okay. Okay, right, there is one word tzitzis which has a double yod. This is the minhag of Rabbeinu Tam to make 5 knots, based besamach l'talis, 2 closer to the talis, v'gimel samach l'ptil, and three of them are closer to the tilim, to the loose strings hanging off. Mishum malam bekosh v'lo maridin. Right, we want to ascend in kedusha, not go down in kedusha. Kedamin shayin. All right, and we're going to see that in the Gemara as well. Skip one line in Tosfos. Miulo matzino shum smach behashas mafurash mehek sharim. Right, but meanwhile, even though all of us nowadays put five knots on our tzitzis, right, you're not going to see that in the Gemara. Tosfos acknowledges. V'yeshlamar dahad amin tzarach likshar akol chulya v'chulya haynu achash alavim v'achash otchelas shem shtayim v'hashtek shem poches misheva oseh hek sharim. Tosfos tries to work it into the Gemara where in between the blue and the white you're going to tie, right? In between each blue and each white you're going to tie, and you're going to and you could possibly come out to five knots. So Tosus works it out. Let's not get lost in this. But Tosus works out how exactly you're able to find five knots even in the Gemara's compilation of the tzitzis. Okay, so the main point from Tosfos, let's walk away with something from this Tosfos. The main point of Tosfos is like this: our tzitzis don't exactly mimic exactly what the Gemara says. The Gemara talks about chulya and having a knot between every chulya, and we don't do that exactly. We put five knots. The Gemara makes no mention of five knots. The basic point Tosfos is driving at is that our tzitzis aren't exactly the same format as the Gemara tzitzis, because we lost the tchelas. Once we lose the tchelas, so we lose an aspect of the tzitzis. The whole idea of having having chulya and having the number 7 and 13 is keneged arakia, and that's the tchelas, which is keneged arakia. We don't have that, so our tzitzis don't have to follow the exact format as the Gemara's. Okay, that's the basic point that Tosfos is making. We're coming back. Tchelis is going to make a comeback. But even that's true, we're not 100% sure. Meaning there's reasonable evidence to suggest that what we have is Tchelis, but we're not 100% sure.
But if you have Tchelis like this, I mean, this is what Rambam says. I mean, it's exactly what Gemara says then.
But we don't know. Here's the problem that we keep running into. Right, we have reasonable evidence to suggest that that's Tchelis, but we don't know for sure.
Forget about that.
If you have, yes. This is the way Rambam...
That's the way the Rambam says it, correct.
That's the Gemara then.
We just did the Gemara together, right? I'm not holding
13, and he has it, you know,
right. I'm not holding back anything from the Gemara. We have the Gemara, so the Gemara talks about 7, 13. Right. Gemara talks about chulya. The Gemara talks about not between every chulya. So then yes, and then from there we're not going to go through the Rambam now, right? But the Rambam then basically takes you step by step through exactly what you have over there.
Right.
Correct. That's correct.
It's based on Gemara then.
Yeah, of course. The Rambam is always based on the Gemara. Tana, kishu maska maska belavan ha kanaf min kanaf kishu masai masai belavan. Okay, so when you start again, this is with our tchelas. So you start with white, meaning when you wrap, you start wrapping with white, and when you finish wrapping with white. Why? Malam bekodesh v'lam aridin. You know, you only go up in kedusha and you don't go down in kedusha. It's so interesting. I would have polled everybody here in the room. What has more kedusha, the lavan or the tchelas? I don't know. I think people would say tchelas, just as you know, as an intuitive reaction. The Gemara says no. The lavan has more kedusha, and it seems from the Gemara. The Gemara is not 100% clear about this. Why does white have more kedusha? Because you start with white. So in other words, since you started with white, it shows you that white has more significance. It is the matching color to the baguette. The baguette is white. The string that comes off of it is white. So white has more kedusha. So when you start wrapping with white. And when you finish wrapping with white. So Malam Bekosh V'lo Maridin. Rav Rabba Bar Chana Hava Yasvei. So Rav was sitting together with Rava, son of Chana. His father's name is never mentioned. So Rabba Barba Chana, Hava Yasra Hava Kachala V'Azol HaUgavra Demichse Glima Dekula Tchelta. I have this picture of Rav and Rabba sitting on a park bench. And along passes by a guy, and he's wearing a blue robe. Right? Mordechai wore a blue robe. Right? Mordechai Yatza. So glima de kula techilta. Okay, so that part is weird. That's fine. The rami le techilta, and he had blue strings attached to it. The gidla migdil, and it was all wound up. No loose strings coming off his tzitzis. So his tzitzis, and we learned in the Gemara in Amud Aleph, 1/3 wound, 2/3 loose strings. Although the Gemara says that's not an absolute. That's just to make it the most beautiful. But we did say that tzitzis have to be made up of a composite of wound up strings and loose strings. And here we have this guy, right, whose name is not named to protect the innocent, who passed by in front of Rav and Rabba, and he was wearing a blue garment, and he was wearing tzitzis, but they were blue and they were all wound up. Okay, so Amar Rav. So Rav says, "Yai glimi, nice garment, velo yai tchelta, not nice tzitzis. Mm-hmm. I don't like the tzitzis." So Rabba Barbachana Amar Yai Glima V'Yai Tchilta, and Rabba says, no, they're both nice. The garment's nice, and the tzitzis is nice as well. Now, they were not commenting on the aesthetic nature of his clothing. I cannot possibly imagine that makes for, I'm sure it makes for great conversation, right? You know, in the high school, I hear a lot of discussion of clothing. I mean, that, you know, that's the topic of discussion amongst adolescent people. But you get to a certain stage of life where, you know, clothing does make the man. But not often we discuss people's clothing. Although, you know, it is part of the discussion. The Gemara is not going to quote it over here simply because they're having that discussion. The Gemara is quoting over here, but obviously because they're having a halachic debate. Is that okay? Is it okay that they made that this guy made it tzitzis and it was all wound up, and he had no loose strings? Is that okay? So b'mai kamefligi. So the Gemara now is going to explain this. Pshat in the machlokas. Rabba barachana savar ksiv gedil ksiv psil. So e gedil. Sorry. O gedil. O psil. So the way that Rabba barachana understands the Torah, it could go either way. You can either have, when the Torah says gedilim or the Torah says psil, what the Torah is doing is giving us a choice. Either or. You could have gedil, you could have psil. The Rav savar la'olam psil be'inan. And Rav disagrees, and Rav says, no, you need psil. V'ahi gedilim liminyanahu da'asa. The Torah says the word gedil, that's telling us the number. How many strings do you need? I told you this before, right? Where in the Torah does it say how many strings do you need? Answer is, it doesn't. Right here, the Gemara. This is a source for the number of strings that you need from each corner. Gedil shnayim. The word gedil by itself, that indicates two. Gedilim arba. So now you know that. Now, how does gedil mean two? Because gedil means twined. You can't twine unless you have two strings. So the word gedil by itself means two. Then I have gedilim. Gedilim means what I just have.
You've been one. One and a half. You have two intertwined.
Okay, right. I hear that. The Gemara's assumption is gedilim, take that number and double it. Right? Why not triple it? Why not quadruple it? Because as we discussed many times, I can't. In other words, I can't write tafasta murba lo tafasta. I go with the minimum number, and that is going to be twice that many. So that's four. I'll say gedil, and now the Torah is telling us make a gedil uposlea mitocho, and let the strings flow from within it. Okay, so what you have now is a basic machlokas between Amorayim. The Torah describes the tzitzis as being a gedil. The Torah describes the tzitzis as being psil. Here's what we do know. We know gedil is a wrap part, the twined part, the braided part. We know psil is a loose part. So basically now what the machlokas is the Torah commanding us to have both? Or is the Torah saying either one of them is okay? So according to Rav, Rav said, Ya'i glimi velo ya'i tichilta. Look, the garment, I like the garment. Right? It's a blue garment, I like that. That I go for. But the tzitzis are no good because he has no loose strings. And part of the definition of tzitzis is that I need both wrappings and loose strings. Gedil and psil are both. And Rabba Barbachana, who said, no, the garment's nice and the tzitzis are also nice, even though they have no loose strings, because he thinks he's of the opinion that gedil and psil are options. The Torah is providing for us options. It could either be gedil, or it could be psil.
Street?
Yes.
Is there a significance in the story that the robe is blue? In other words, if it had been white, would this have been an issue at all?
I don't know. It's an interesting question. Yeah, I know. I hear you. I hear you and I hear the question. I don't know. Right, Korach said if the beged has all tcheles, right, so then I shouldn't have tzitzis at all, right? But his argument was it shouldn't even require the strings coming out because the whole beged's got tcheles. Okay, Amishmul Mishmei Delevi Chutei Tzemer Pochim B'Shal Pishtan. Okay, we'll start this today. Obviously, a lot of this will continue with tomorrow, and now a totally new topic of discussion, not new, but a new area in the world of tzitzis, and now we're going to be talking about the actual material itself. Okay, it's popular nowadays to make tzitzis out of cotton. Right, cotton is very popular because it's light, it's hot here in South Florida, so cotton is very popular. Even when we use cotton, you know the strings that are used are always made out of wool. Right? These strings are made out of wool. Okay, what we're going to be discussing over the course of the rest of today and tomorrow is basically which garment is preferred. Meaning, when I make tzitzis, which garment should I use? And not only a question of which garment is preferred, it's really even a more basic question than that. Which garment requires tzitzis? Maybe there will be some garments that simply don't require tzitzis, meaning maybe the Torah only requires tzitzis if you make it out of certain garments and not out of other garments. Okay, so let's begin the discussion today, and we're going to continue the discussion tomorrow. Amar Shmuel, Mishmei Delevi, Chutei Tzemer Pochim B'Shal Pishtan. If I have Chutei Tzemer, if I have wool strings, so Pochim B'Shal Pishtan, so if I put it on a linen garment, good, it patters. In other words, that's... We're always going to assume throughout this discussion that there's going
to
be tchelet. Tchelet
has to be wool by requirement.
Tchelet by definition has to be wool. Okay, so if I make chutei tzemer, now Rashi over here is extraordinarily important. Rashi writes like this: chutei tzemer pochim b'shal pishtan, osam shnei chutim shel lavan. So Rashi tells us we're talking now about the white strings, right? As Ben points out accurately, the blue strings by definition are wool. Okay. Now I know in theory you could dye other materials. It doesn't have to be wool that you're dyeing. However, we know Torah Shabbat Peh, we know that part of the tradition is that the wool that the Torah talks about, the blue wool, I should say, tchelis that the Torah talks about is amra, it's wool. Okay? So that's never up for discussion, that's never up for debate. The blue strings have to be wool. Okay. If I could be clear about that. So now when the Gemara is entertaining other materials, so as Rashi here points out, we're talking about the other strings. Now remember, I mentioned this yesterday, and this is just important to realize. According to Rashi and according to Tosfos, your breakup of wool and white, sorry, of blue and white are 2 and 2. Right? Rashi and Tosfos both say it's 2 and 2. 2 whites, 2 blues. I told you yesterday the Rambam does not agree. The Rambam says half of one string. The Ravid says 1 of the 4 strings. Okay, but we're reading Rashi right now, so we're just going to work with Rashi's pshat. Rashi says it's 2 and 2. Osam shnei chutim shel lavan. So we're now talking about the 2 white strings. Im shel tzemrein pochim b'sadna shel pishtan. Im atcheles. If they're made up of wool, so then that for sure is going to work, even though it's affixed to a linen garment. The afagav deleka ashtem min kanaf dehavi shel tzemer. Now, why would you have thought otherwise? Meaning, what we're describing is exactly what everyone would have figured. Meaning, wool strings on a linen garment. You may have thought otherwise, because what did we learn yesterday? And also we repeated again today, the idea of hakanaf. That the color of the strings have to match the garment. The garment is white predominantly, strings have to be white. Right? That's what we said yesterday. I might have thought that's true, not just with the color, but with the material. The material also has to be a matching material. So if the material that I'm using, here this is cotton, but let's just imagine that this is linen, right? Nice linen. Nice linen beged. So I would venture to suggest that the strings also, not the tchelis has to be wool, but the white parts have to be linen. Because they have the requirement of hakanaf, min hakanaf. So what the Gemara is teaching us, or what Rashi is explaining is, not necessary. Even if the whites are made out of wool, that's acceptable. Rashi writes, Kevin de Tchela Shnaim Chutin Hein, de Tchela Samar Ninu, Upote Bishal Pishtan, de Hatchela Kazar Rachmana, Beja, Lovan de Tzemer Nami Pote Bishal Pishtan, Mishum Lovan. Since the blue could be wool, the white could be wool as well. Good. E Bailahu. So now that we've established that, Shal Pishtan Maisha Yifteru Bishal Tzemer. Okay, what if I go the other way? Right? What if now we go in the other direction? So, Tzemer Bishal Pishtim Hu Depatr Tzekem Tzechelas Patr Lava Nami Patr. Look, the Tzechelas by definition is wool, so the blue is wool, so the white also could be wool as well. Ava Pishtim Tzemer Lo. But if I switch it around, Pishtim Tzemer maybe not. Odem Akem Dechsiv Lo Silbashanes Tzemer Pishtim Yachtav Gedilim Tasalach. So the Gemara says maybe it doesn't make a difference. Maybe it would be okay if I crossed it in either way. Meaning, if the white is made out of wool or if the white is made out of linen, either way it would be okay, it would be acceptable. So the Gemara is going to basically from this point forward explain whether or not it can go in either direction. Whether I can cross wool with linen or linen back with wool. Okay, we'll pause over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up. Scheduled for tomorrow's regular day. Tomorrow, regular 7 o'clock start, and tomorrow's regular for Yontif. We're going to meet before Mincha. I don't know the exact times. Come back to me tomorrow. I'll come back with times for.